Welcome to Hop On Calls, a short, tactical, and practical podcast for outbound sales professionals looking to level up their game by learning from actual cold calls that I make every week live on LinkedIn. My name's Kevin Hop, and I'm all about helping outbound sales professionals hone their craft and build high-quality pipeline. Let's dive right in and see what we can learn in this episode.
Howdy, howdy, internet. Good to see everybody again from all across the world joining us here on Hop On Calls Live, powered by Kixie. I'm your host, Kevin Hop. Cynthia, thank you for being with us today. How are you doing?
Really excited and happy to be here. I watched your show so many times. I got so psyched when you actually invited me.
Ooh, there we go. Love that. Love that. And, we call that longtime listener, first time caller. That's one ways that one of the ways we talk about that. Cynthia, where are you sitting? Is that that's a background, huh?
It's a background. But today, for those of you that don't follow me or LinkedIn, I am sitting in Honduras today.
Honduras,
Central America. Yes,
love that. Cool. Do you live in Honduras full time?
I do. I work remotely and I travel between the States and Central America. Our offices are based in Boston, but we actually have offices in Costa Rica as well. So I travel between Honduras, Costa Rica, and the States. We're a fully global team. Our team is based out of Boston. We have people in Boston. We have people in Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Guatemala, El Salvador, Panama, everywhere. Exciting, right?
Yeah, very exciting. So talk a little bit about what you do and your background. Folks tuning in know me. I'm kind of the call guy here, but what's your background?
So I am the head of global sales for Samara. What Samara does is that we are a staff augmentation company, and we act as a bridge between U.S. and Canadian companies that want to hire Latin American talent. I actually lead, like I said, the BDR team. And we just started this really a cool sales academy, which is free for all Latin American aspiring BDRs or SDRs that want to get into tech sales, that want to learn how to be a BDR, learn better practices. We're actually on the second week of the second graduating class. And it's free, completely free, 2 hours a day. You get your certificate, a diploma, and you actually get placed to be hired by U.S. companies.
Ah, cool beat. Yeah. Gotta love that. So do you have like an actual like call center or an area with like people in it?
No, we're a fully remote team. We're fully remote. We're a remote first company. So our founder is actually based out of Boston. Our head of inside sales is also based out of Boston. Mostly all of the U.S. reps are based in Boston. We have a couple of customer success managers that are based in Latin America as well. All of my team is fully based in Central America. I have people in Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. 5 countries.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah, awesome. We got some fans here already. Trisha Sorto, shout out. We got Francisco Molina, shout out. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Really appreciate that. Without any further ado, I'm going to start cold calling. We have a bit of technical difficulties today. Cynthia is not going to be making cold calls, but I'm going to be making cold calls. We can coach and train a little bit to the to what you're hearing on my side and talk about what's going on. But as I get going here, I'm going to jump in the queue. As always, for those tuning in, if it's your first time or if you're familiar, you know, you're not going to hear both sides of the audio today, but you can always tune into the podcast. Go anywhere you find podcasts and look up Hop On Calls. You can hear both sides of the audio. Oh, shout out Chef. Thanks for tuning in, man. Hop On Sales has gone global. This is actually, yeah, you're actually the third person from outside the United States that is coming on the show. So I'm really happy about that.
Thank you for having me.
Cool beans. All right, so let me jump in. I'm going to be calling today for my client Silver Sky. So we're going to be talking about cybersecurity, which is what I'm pitching today. So phone is ringing in my ear. Cynthia, question for you to start off. Is cold calling different outside of the United States in your experience?
Yes. Now that I work for a U.S. company, it's completely different, because remember that in Latin America and in Europe, WhatsApp is huge. Like, people don't use iMessage. So before the pandemic, I used to work in sales. I was a head of actually business development for a company that owned malls in all of Latin America. And the way we did business was purely on WhatsApp. And what's cool about WhatsApp is that you can actually send as many unsolicited messages as you can, because it's completely legal. All you need is to actually have the cell phone number of the person you're sending that message out to. And that's the way you do business. You send out cold messages on WhatsApp, cold emails, and you're likely either to get a "I'm not interested" or "I'm interested" response via WhatsApp. And it's a lot easier because you're, you know, if cold texting was legal in the States, text is actually the easiest way to get to a call. So that's the way I used to do business. So when the pandemic happened, I was actually let go, because malls were closed down in all of Latin America.
Yeah.
And I wanted to work remotely and I wanted to restart my career. So I applied to any job that was remote out there on LinkedIn. And I actually started as an SDR 3 years ago. And I started cold calling. Like, I decided, like, I want to work in tech. I want to restart my whole career. This is the chance. This is the pandemic. Like, I have to find something to do. I'm not going to eat like my severance money. Like, I have to do something. So I got hired as an SDR for a company in Boston. Fun fact, I was selling car wash point of sale systems.
Wow.
So I had never been in sales in the States. Cold calling in English, because of course I was selling to only US Express car washes and selling car wash point of sale systems, which is a completely niche industry and a lot of technical language. So it was really like a school for me. I loved it and I learned so much. And that's where everything that I coached on my team and on our Sales Academy program, everything comes from my experiences, things that worked when I was an SDR, things that didn't work as an SDR. I actually got promoted to being an AE, which honestly, sorry for all of the AEs out there. I hate being an AE. I'm not into the sales cycle. I love things like booking that meeting, the rush and thrill that you get when you book that meeting. That's my thing. That's why I love coaching BDR teams and working with BDRs, because I love that energy. I love the feeling. And I know what it feels like to be a BDR. And after I was an AE, like for a year, I got promoted to being an SDR manager. And I was in that position for 2 years before Samara called me and wanted me to be their head of global sales. So exciting journey. And I've learned a lot. It's been humbling. And I love training young BDRs and SDRs and helping them achieve their goals. I love it. It's my my favorite thing in the entire world, to coach them.
Wow. Yeah. A lot going on there. One of the things that I want to dig into there that you mentioned is WhatsApp. So with WhatsApp, you can send an unsolicited text message, and that is not illegal. Right?
Yep. Yep. In the States. In
Hey, is this Joey?
Yes, it is.
Joey, how's it going? Kevin with Silver Sky here. How are you doing today?
Good, Kevin.
Fantastic. Joey, sounds like I could hear that I got you out and about. Are you driving? Are you hands-free right now?
Yeah, I'm hands-free right now. Go ahead.
Okay, fantastic. Joey, I'm with a company called Silver Sky Technologies. We help businesses, a bit like Horseshoe Bay, take a proactive stance when it comes to security.
I'm no longer with Horseshoe Bay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Are you working in IT in a different business?
I'm actually a partner in a mobile payment app company.
Oh, mobile payment app company, huh?
Yep.
Right on. So do you? I'm assuming you guys have a bit of a cybersecurity infrastructure as well, too?
No, not really, because that's all. Everything's up on the cloud. Everything's hosted on Azure. So that's all outsourced to Microsoft at this point.
Right on. Okay. So you guys have a lot of headcount, a lot of endpoints there, or is this like an early stage venture?
No, it's an early stage venture.
Totally. Okay. All right, Joey. In that case, I will let you go. Have a great rest of your day.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Cheers.
Can I just say I love your tone of voice? Like, you actually had me engaged in that call. I love it. Like, it sounded like you used the warm and friendly tone. I love that.
Thank you. Thank you. I try to match whatever someone's giving me, because I find that the more you can match the tone of what someone's presenting to you, the more likely they are to, like, understand and lean into it. What's been your experience with Town?
Yeah. So I normally try to do warm and friendly, which is what I recommend most BDRs to do. But if you're not that acquainted or you don't feel very comfortable cold calling, you should stick to like the professional tone. I was actually having that conversation with Ronan Pissarro last week, and Ronan says like there's three tones of voice, and it's very true. Like, if you don't feel comfortable cold calling, and if you're not an experienced BDR, you should definitely stick to the professional and clean a tone of voice that did all of your research. Warm and friendly is the best. And like, for more experienced BDRs, I think humor. But humor comes naturally. Also, I couldn't help but notice you don't use openers, like permission-based openers, or you do?
I do, but so let's talk about that for a second. This is a good example of understanding what's going on the other side of the phone before jumping into my pitch. Now, what I mean by that is, what the second this guy, Joey, connected to me, I heard all this like background, which anyone knows is he's driving in a car. Now, I advocate for always calling out what's going on in an individual's environment so that you can guard against what I call the false negative. The false negative is when someone is actually busy and they don't have time to talk, but they pick up the phone, which is, if you know, we can talk about it for a long time. The phenomenon of why do people pick up the phone when they can't talk, right? Like that sucks. But they do. Like, human nature, they always do. Where was I going with this? So he picked up the phone and he was in the car. If someone's in the car and they're doing something, they're multitasking, the number one thing you want to do is say, hey, I want to have a conversation with you. Do you have time for a conversation? What are you doing? And I checked that with him and he said, yeah, go ahead. And after that, that is my permission-based open, right? But I bet, you know, one of the next calls here, I bet we won't have that issue. So he was actually the wrong target for that. I mean, the data I have that I'm calling on right now should be very fresh. So I bet he moved over to that company pretty recently. So
yeah, there's a lot of changes going on right now, especially because so many layoffs have been going on and it's happening a lot right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of change up in terms of data. Man, it's funny that you mentioned that sending WhatsApp was a way that you had a lot of traction. I had a business partner in an outbound as a service company, and he was convinced that he had figured out outbound. He's like, oh, I have it all figured out. He's like, we're going to text people. He's like, Kevin, what's the last time you didn't respond to a text message? I'm like, well, it's illegal. And he was like, no, it's not. I'm going to find a way to make it not illegal. And then he did some research and found out that, yeah, in America, cold texting is very illegal. And people
are extremely illegal. The only way that you can actually text someone is if they fill out a form online and they give out their cell phone. That's the only way. Or if there's like some ways around it. Like, for example, if you call somebody and their voicemail says, please text me.
Yeah.
They're actually giving you permission to text them. Or when you cold call somebody and they text you back, like, who is this?
Yep.
But that's actually like starting the conversation. Exactly. Initiation. But if they did not give, if it's a normal cold call, you should never follow up via text. Never, never. It's like the definite no-no.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate, right? Because texting is a very, very high response channel. And if you try to break that rule, like people get really angry. You know,
they do.
Like I've had some people say, "Well, I'm just going to try it," and then some of the text messages you get back are very angry and aggressive.
Dean, don't ever text me. Yeah, I know that's extremely illegal. Like, if you get people pissed off via cold email, imagine cold texting people. That would really make one like freak out.
That's right. That's right. The debate like comes up every few months on LinkedIn. Like I see it, like someone starts a thread saying, "Cold texting is going into my workflow for the next blah, 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 blah." And then everyone goes, "Yeah, I love texting." And then some people like me chime in and say, "Hey, you guys know that's super illegal, right?"
Of course. It has to be illegal for companies when you're doing text marketing campaigns. And like when people actually sign up for text marketing campaigns, they need to have like a double opt-in feature to actually be TCPA compliant. Because that company in Boston that I told you that I used to work for before, they did a lot of text marketing campaigns. And when people signed up for text marketing, they have to have the opt-in and opt-out feature. And all of the language that is sent in the text actually has to be like legal language and always have the option to opt out. So it's like a whole thing. It's not as easy as we think that cold texting is.
That's right. I think the thing that people get caught up on LinkedIn is they like cold texting is illegal. Texting people that you're actively in a sales cycle with is not illegal. It's actually a really good idea. It's funny. I'm working a deal right now for a new.
But you're already selling. It's practically like
it's a relationship.
The prospect knows you. You're familiar to him.
Exactly. One of the things that I think salespeople they miss is this concept of like sales is just people selling to people. So interact with people the way that you would if it wasn't a sales cycle, right?
Exactly.
If you guys have this exchange of information back and forth, you don't have to keep it all corporate with these big, long emails.
Exactly. And what I tell my team is that when you actually have a no-show or a reschedule, it means that you can probably text that person back. Because when somebody already agreed to a meeting and you called them to their phone or they said yes to a meeting via email, you can follow up to rebook that meeting via text because they already said yes to the meeting and they already know that you have their cell phone. So that's like another way around it. But these are like for what you said, when you're actually already booked the meeting or when you have like a sales process in place.
Right. Big fan of interacting with people wherever they're most responsive. Are you a texter? Are you a phone call person? Are you whatever it might be? So talk to me a little bit about, you mentioned you have a team today.
I do.
Fairly large team. How big is your team?
30 people.
30 people. Wow. Yeah, that's a lot. That is a lot. By the way, just so people who are watching, I'm on 32 calls. We had one live call connect so far. I had a few that I connected that were like false positives where I'm not going to talk because it wasn't a real person. It connected me to the voicemail or whatnot. But I am dialing. So while we're talking about your team, I might get a connect, hopefully get a connect there. So talk to me a bit about when you're building a 30 person team, what are some of the things you look for in SDRs, traits and in background and skill set?
Well, I think that I look for two types of SDRs, those that have some sales experience and those that have the potential. I think potential is everything, and the energy, the vibes, and the willing to learn and accept feedback is what you need to be an SDR. Because I've met some people, great people that actually have a lot of experience in sales, but they're not willing to be coached. They're not willing to take feedback.
And that's all we got for today's episode of Hop On Calls, powered by Kixi. Be sure to tune into the live recordings every Tuesday on LinkedIn. Would love to have your comments, reactions, questions. It's a really good learning environment for anyone that is looking to do outbound sales better. If your organization is actively focusing on this, feel free to reach out to me, Kevin Hop, on LinkedIn, or go to hopconsultinggroup.com. I'll see you next time. Cheers.